Amen. The book of Revelation, if you'll look there with me tonight, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. We're going to read about three verses here. Revelation 12 and verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Amen. Be encouraged tonight. The devil's time is limited. Amen. His time is limited. Amen. You know, I think that something that has been on my mind, and I think every Christian experiences this, and that is we don't realize that we're listening too much to the voice of the devil. He sometimes comes in such a sly and a deceitful way that we don't recognize the source of what is coming our way. And he lies to us and opposes us to tell us that we are not valuable, we're not important, we're not important to God. He lies to us to make us think that we've made mistakes and we've had failures, and we know that we all have. And so that disqualifies us, and we never would have a place where we would fit in the work of the kingdom of God. And he just keeps perpetuating all these different types of very sly, quiet little whispers into your ear. And before you know it, you're thinking what he has said, and you're believing what he has said. I want you to know that through Jesus Christ, your past can be past. It can be over with. And it doesn't have to be the thing that drags you down. It doesn't have to be the thing that stops you from being what God wants you to be. The enemy, he comes to us with so many different subtle lies. He wants to stop our progress, stop our growth. He doesn't want you to realize the promise of God or the plan of God for your life. And you begin to think thoughts that really, if you'll just consider here tonight, that didn't come from God. That didn't come from the Word of God. Its source is not in truth, but we've just listened to little deceptive lies of the enemy that convinces us that we are not important. We're not valuable to God. We don't have a place in the work of the kingdom of God. He's deceiving you into thinking that God's not interested in you, that God's not involved in our lives. And sometimes we get angry and even bitter because of a circumstance of our life, because we don't recognize the truth versus the lies, the deceptive lies of the enemy. Amen. Now, as Christians, we have been called to be overcomers. Amen. No matter what it is that you're experiencing, no matter what it is that you're up against right here today, you are to be an overcomer. Now, the Bible exposes the enemy for what he is. And if you're having trouble with discouragement and depression, and you're feeling down and hopeless, that does not come from God. That's the enemy who's bringing all that despair and all of that hopelessness your way. And the enemy, you need to recognize it for the source. It comes straight from the enemy of your soul. Amen. Nobody going to sleep on me tonight. Stay awake. Stay with me now. You've got a devil. You've got an enemy, an adversary. And he comes, and his nature is to lie. He is a liar from the beginning. He's the father of all lies. He's the source of every lie. It all comes from the devil. And he always wants to counter what God has said. And that's what he did from the beginning. That's what he did in Genesis when he came against Adam and Eve in the garden. Hath God said? He wants to counter and put doubts and questions as to what God has said and the truth of the word of the Lord. Let me just encourage you, if you're experiencing times of discouragement or questions and doubts, worries and fears, the word of God is a wonderful, wonderful cure to all of that. Spend more time with the Bible, spend more time with the truth, and that'll shut the mouth of the liar. It'll shut all of these things that the enemy is saying to try to stop and to counter what God is wanting to do in your life. Not only is Satan a liar, but the Bible says that he disguises himself as an angel of light. The word there in Corinthians is that he transforms himself into an angel of light. The Greek word is a word that we get our word metamorphosis, where it's like a transformation, that Satan doesn't come to you in evil, wicked, despicable ways, but he comes to you in cunning ways. He comes to you in ways to cause you to give him an ear, to listen to him, to pay attention to him. So we have to be aware and be sensitive as to where all these lies and all this information is coming from, because he is an angel of light. Adam and Eve would have never have fallen prey to the temptation of Satan if he would have come looking like a serpent, like we know serpents look like today. You know that the serpent, a part of the judgment that came upon that serpent was that he was going to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the ground from then on. And that was the judgment that came upon the serpent. But in the garden, when he came to Adam and Eve, no, he came as an angel of light. He came as some beautiful being that was easily received and was given an ear. And that's the reason why that he was able to convince them and to put questions in their mind about what God was saying and about the promise of God. He disguises himself. That's exactly what false prophets do as well. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, false prophets, they come the same way. They come as angels of light. They come presenting light. And really, deception, it comes whenever there's a whole lot of truth, but then there's error that's inserted with it. And the enemy knows he comes as an angel of light. It looks good. It sounds good. It presents itself as something that is good and godly. But in reality, it's the enemy of your soul. That's Satan's tactic in the garden. And it has been down through the years. And even today with false prophets and false ministers of the gospel that they come. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Don't be surprised. In the previous verses there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 are talking warnings about false teachers and false prophets that would come and would deceive many. I don't want to be taken prey by the lies of the enemy. I don't want to fall into the trap of listening to the voice of the enemy, where he wants to insert fear and doubt and worry and unbelief, and all of these things become a thought, become a part of your thought processes. Counter that with the word of God. Amen. Spend some time with the word of God. Amen. And listen to the voice of God. Listen to good preaching and listen to good teaching of the word of God. Take advantage of every opportunity here in church services. You need the Lord and you need the truth of God's word. You need to be here every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, every opportunity. You need to take advantage of these times, because it's during these times that you're edified, you're encouraged, you're strengthened. And not only that, the word of God provides the answer. It provides the source from God, whereby you're able to combat all of these lies of the enemy. Amen. Apostle Paul said, he doesn't want Satan to get an advantage over us. So we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to wake up. We need not to be ignorant of his devices. We understand that he's got plans. The word there means his schemes. It's the same word where in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, so that you can stand. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. the scheming plans of the devil. Understand, now just think with me just for a minute, what's going on right now in your life? There's no such thing as coincidences in the life of a believer. What's going on in your life right now that you can be sure that the enemy's working overtime. He's trying, he's lying, he's deceiving, he's discouraging you, and he's got this diabolical scheme and plan, and he wants to snuff out the plan of God in your life. He wants to stop you from realizing what God is wanting to do. I think we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. We need to understand the devil is not, you know, pointed tail and pitchfork and horns, in charge of hell. That's not the devil. As a matter of fact, the devil is not in hell. Matter of fact, he's never been to hell. Are you surprised? You thought that Satan was kind of like the guardian of hell? No, he's not. He's never been there. He's going there. And Revelation chapter 20 talks about that. He's going to be judged and condemned to that horrible place. But he's not in hell right now. So where is he? Where is he? Well, the Bible says that he's like a lion that's a roaring lion. He's going about seeking. He's roaming about this world, this earth, seeking whom he might be able to devour. That's where he is. He's in this world. Is that the only place he is? No. The other place that the Bible describes where he is he's making these regular visits into heaven. That's right. That's what it says, that he's regularly in heaven. And what's he doing there? He is night and day accusing the brethren. Night and day, he's coming up against you and against me. He's lying. He's trying to convince God. Can you imagine the foolishness of Satan trying to convince God of something? He can't do that. But he's spending his time roaming about the earth, seeking whom that he might be able to devour. You know, really, that's one of his tricks. He goes about like a lion who roars. The roaring lion is usually the older lions that don't have many teeth and not enough strength to chase down their prey. And so the older lions are the ones that roar. And the younger lions chase after the prey and catch it. And then the old lion gets in on it and feeds with the rest of them. But the roar is what sets fear in the prey. And that's what he does. He goes about like a roaring lion. And he puts us to running. He puts us in fear. And you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in fear and you're going through trials and you're questioning and you do not understand what is going on. Well, it's the enemy of your soul. And he is going about like a roaring lion. And then, of course, he's also engaged in an attempt to overthrow the plan of God, the purpose of God, the people of God. And so he, day and night, is accusing the brethren. That's the occupation. Do you understand that is the 100% full-time occupation of the devil and one-third of the host that fell with him? And that's your destruction, my destruction, defeating the church, stopping the plan of God. So no wonder that you feel the attack from time to time, and I feel the attack from time to time, because we have an adversary who hates us. He hates us so much that he's occupying his full energy and power and resources to try to destroy the church and to destroy the plan of God. It's the truth. Yes, it is. Look with me in Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 3. We know from reading about Job that Satan was an accuser of Job. And he said, he appeared there with the sons of God, the angels there in the presence of the Lord. And Satan appeared and the Lord said, "Why are you here?" I'm paraphrasing. "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, from going to and fro, roaming up and down throughout the earth, looking for some vulnerable person." That's what he was saying. And he said, "Well, have you paid any attention to my servant Job?" "Oh, yeah." "Well, you're protecting him. He's serving you for no reason, really, because you've protected him and you've built a hedge around him to protect him." And you know the story, that Satan, his end desire, his his desire was to destroy Job, but he wasn't able to do it. Amen. He wasn't able to do it. He just kept his faith in God, his confidence in God. And even though he suffered and lost all, the Bible says in the end, he came out victorious. In the end, he came through it all. And even though he was a test case, and he came under this fire and this temptation in his life, he came through it victorious. The whole book of Job is a reminder to all of us that you can make it, and you will make it if you put your trust in the Lord, if you hold on with faith and confidence in the Lord. Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest. Now, this is not talking about Joshua marched in with Caleb, the leader and successor of Moses. This is talking about a priest, Joshua, and actually it's talking about a priestly line, not just an individual person. But he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to resist him. What's he doing there? How did he get to this place? How did he get at the right hand, this place of prominence? How did Satan get there? Let me tell you, that's what he will constantly do. He's always trying to assert himself and to put himself in a place where he doesn't rightly have any right or privilege to be. And Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Joshua, and he's talking about this priestly line. And of course, the church is the type. We are, all of us, kings and priests unto God. Amen. Amen. And so he said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And what this is representing is a whole priestly line that really is backslidden in heart and is turned away from God. And the filthy garments describes the condition that they are in. And so Satan sees what's going on, and he sees that as an opportunity. You see, Satan has got his position at the right hand of God. He's got that place because the priestly line has filthy garments on. And they've given an occasion where the enemy can have a position. But the Lord said, rebuke you, Satan. This is my chosen one, plucked from the burning, a brand plucked from the burning. Hallelujah. He was clothed, and even though he was clothed with filthy garments, verse 4 says, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will cause thee with, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head, which was symbolic of his priestly role. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house and shalt keep my courts, and I will give thee places to stand to walk among these that stand by. What was he saying? Purify your life. Cleanse yourself, and you'll be able to displace the enemy. You'll be able to get back in that rightful place that you long to be in and that you deserve to be in. That's just one other biblical example of Satan accusing the brethren, and you can be sure that that's been his occupation. And this very night, tonight, it is his chief occupation before the throne of God, trying, of course, with no success, trying to convince God. But I want you to know that God rebukes the enemy. Amen. And he reminds the enemy who you are, a brand plucked from the burning. Amen.
He reminds you that even though that you are clothed in filthy garments, that he's the one that gives you a change of raiment and makes you clean and makes you pure and holy all over again. Hallelujah. Amen. And he puts you in the position that you rightfully should be in because of his mercy and his grace. Amen. If somehow we could just lay hold of this important truth here tonight. Yes, we do have an adversary, but he has made us to be overcomers. Hallelujah. He has made us to be overcomers. Glory to God. The text in verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Three ways, three avenues whereby we overcome the enemy of our soul. And the first one is by the blood of the Lamb. How are we cleansed? We talked about it a little bit this morning, but our own personal cleansing is just not enough. We can't take care of the filthiness and the awfulness of sin. Only the shedding of blood provides the remission of sin. It's only the shedding of blood that provides us rightful acceptance into the kingdom of God. That's the only way that we can know the Lord and we can know the freedom and the liberty that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So Satan is the accuser. But when he accuses us, the accuser of the brethren, he is quieted by the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our lives. Amen. And Satan puts up his hand, or the Lord puts up his hand and says, "You're rebuked, Satan. This is a brand plucked from the burning. This is my child. And I'm the one that can cleanse them and can purge them and put them back in their rightful place." Hallelujah. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You know, and it has to be a personal thing with you. Amen. We talk about the blood this time of the year. We talk about the blood of Jesus. We talk about the cross. We talk about the sacrifices of our Lord. But it has to be something personal between you and the Lord. Nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing. And we've got to understand that we cannot purge ourselves or cleanse ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous before the Lord. It's only as we are cleansed by the blood. And what does he see? He sees the blood instead of our weaknesses, our failures, our sins. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood secures us that place, that wonderful place in the work of the kingdom of God. And we can understand the victory that is ours through Jesus and through the shedding of his blood. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Amen. Let me tell you, the law of God stands against you. The accusations, they're accurate and they're true. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. Amen. The victory that is ours comes through Jesus Christ. And how do we overcome? It's because it's when we understand who we are and our standing because of the cross and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can understand that all those lies that are coming your way, that it's the enemy that's coming against you. But you, the blood of Jesus reminds him who you are. The blood of Jesus reminds him that you belong to the Lord and that you're his child, and that you are not going to succumb to the temptations and the lies of the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you,
A sinner, doesn't matter what kind of wicked, horrible sin that they've been in, when they come to the Lord and they repent of their sins and the blood of Jesus is applied to their life, they're just as holy as that saint of God that has served the Lord for 30 years or 40 years. They're just as holy. You can't get holier than being washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how we overcome, because we remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we overcome by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. By our willingness to speak and to declare the things that are true. I'm not suggesting that you talk to the devil. But sometimes when the enemy's coming against you, it's okay just to say, now that's not from God. That's not from God. That's what the devil says about me. But this is what God says about me. And this is what he has done. This is how he's changed my life. This is what he has done in my life. I have been washed. I have been cleansed. I have been purged. I have been made a son and a child of God. That's my testimony. Amen. You know, the enemy, he wants to silence your testimony. Amen. Because he knows that your testimony has power. What Christ has done in your life. And so you overcome because you recognize what Christ has done in your life and who you are through Jesus Christ. And you overcome because you speak the words, you testify to the reality of that experience of what God has done and what he is doing, the testimony of the Lord. Amen. It is important to testify among believers. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to declare the works of the Lord. But it's also wonderful to do it out there on your job, to do it with your unsaved friends and family, to testify to the mighty power of God, to what he has done. And you know, your life is a living testimony. And it's a wonderful expression to the lost that you serve the Lord. But it's a good thing to just go ahead and speak up and testify. It gives you courage to speak up for the Lord. It gives you a whole new level of victory. Whatever you just speak up and you let people know, I belong to the Lord. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And number three, they love not their lives unto death. Their dedication was to that level. It was Christ first, and their own life was not really important. It wasn't as important. It was Christ first, above all. And they were willing to lay down their life and to give testimony of that. You know, if you think about it, you know, the worst thing that Satan could ever do is kill you. That's the worst thing he could do, is kill you. But let me remind you, he's not going to be able to do that if you're a child of God, unless God just says it's your time to go. Amen. But if it's the worst thing that he can do is kill you, then it's also, he turns the worst into the best. Because when you leave this life, you enter into that glorious, wonderful place prepared for every saint of God. And you know, I remember talking to a lady many years ago, and she was just so overwhelmed with fear. Fear was controlling her life, and I don't know where it came from, but I just said, well, what's the worst thing that the enemy could do? Well, the worst thing, I guess, could happen to you is you could die. And she had this startled look on her face, and I said, wouldn't that be horrible for a Christian? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? The worst thing that Satan could ever do is usher you into the presence of God. And cause you to enter into that glorious, wonderful, wonderful place. Amen. They loved not their lives unto death. They put Christ above all. That was the level of dedication that they made. You talk about victory over the lies of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I get weary with the lies of the devil. Now, I've served the Lord a long time, but every once in a while I'll just catch myself and I'll realize, wait a minute. Why am I allowing this to affect my spirit? Why am I listening to all this? It's the enemy whispering in my ear. He's the one that's saying all these things to discourage, to caused me to lose confidence and faith in God. Amen. And I believe that we can put our hope and our trust in the Lord here tonight. We can understand that through Jesus Christ, you can be an overcomer no matter what it is you're experiencing, no matter what you're facing. Every Christian can enter in to victory. Every Christian can enter in to victory through Jesus Christ. And I want you to know it's for you. It's for you. Don't listen to all the words of hopelessness and doubt and fear, but instead put your trust in the Lord, because God, He is working. He is working. And even in some of the most horrible adversity that you might be experiencing right now, God's at work. He's at work, and He can turn it around, and He can silence the lies of the enemy who's trying to tell you you're worthless. Your life doesn't mean anything. God doesn't have a plan. He's forgotten you. He's not concerned about you or where you are or what's happening to you right now in your life. Oh, but He's a liar. You belong to Him. You're a child of God. You're a brand plucked from the burning. Amen. And He cares about you. You say, I'm not perfect. No, your garments may not be perfect, but He's the one that can transform you. He's the one that can give you a change of raiment. He's the one that can put you back in your rightful place and position as a son or a daughter in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And can lead us into victory. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for victory. We thank You, Lord, that even though there are those among us here tonight that they're struggling, Lord, I ask You, Lord, to encourage them, and that faith would rise up in their heart tonight. And Lord, that they would see what You have done. And Lord, that we could enter into the victory that is ours through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the word of our testimony and through our dedication to You, our level of commitment and dedication, that we love You and we love, Lord, more than our own life. Lord, we have committed ourselves to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Now the Lord knows right where you are right now. He knows. He hasn't forgotten you. Some of you have prayed about things for a long time and you don't see any change. You don't see no sign, no evidence that God is working or moving. And Satan comes along and he lies to you. He convinces you that you're worthless, that you have no place and you have no purpose. He convinces you. Oh, he's a liar. He's a liar. That's all he knows how to do is lie. And all of these lies, he's the source of them. Don't listen, but instead, look to the Lord. Look to the promise of God. Look to the word of God. Build your faith in God and on the promises of God. They are yea and amen. They are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the victory. Amen. I think that you upset the devil's plans whenever he's working against you and you just kind of ignore him. And he's lying to you and just ignore him. You just go ahead and serve God. You just go ahead and praise God. You go ahead with your service to the Lord and your ministry and your whatever it is He's called you to. You just ignore His lies because you know what you are. Amen. It's not what Satan says you are. It's who God knows that you are in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah.